T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arkand, Megan Ottolini here, going until 6 o'clock. Got a pretty good sports night here tonight. Doubleheader, you got the Celtics and the Bruins both playing tonight. Bruins in New York taking on the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. The Celtics at home, they will be hosting Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and the rest of the Golden State Warriors. A young team, according to Scal. That was weird, right? Yesterday, he was like, well, they're very young. It's like, nah, not really. Like, they still have a lot of their old players. I know the point he was trying to make, but that was a sort of a strange comment.
I'm glad you do.
What?
Know the point.
I know the point he was making. I just thought it was a weird way of making it. Either way, that's going to be a good one tonight. If you're on your way into that game, I'm just looking at the traffic on the screen over there. It looks like it's really, really bad. So,
oh, good. Okay,
if you're,
great.
If you're stuck in that on your way into the garden, our thoughts are with you here. Also,
I'll be there. I'll be in that traffic. I'll be at the garden.
Understand that if you guys use profanities tonight, and I'm talking to all of you out there, all you Celtics fans going in, John Tomas is going to be very disappointed. He's going to be. Very disappointed.
Don't you say the F word.
Don't listen. Don't cross any lines.
America's burning, people.
Thank you. The obvious stuff I feel like doesn't even need to be said. And with Draymond Green recently, he came out and sort of spoke about that, which I was, we talked about this earlier. I was a little surprised by, because I thought the NBA Finals was a good example of Boston fans being good fans. You know, they were loud and they were obnoxious and they were chanting and heckling and sort of all that stuff, but didn't really cross any lines and didn't go into any places they shouldn't have been going. And then he comes out back in November and again reiterated it recently with that interview with Ramona Shelburne about how things did actually get racial, which I'm not going to tell you that I think he's lying, because I don't want to be on the radio here saying, this guy's lying, nothing's racist in Boston, because I feel like that always comes off the same way, which is to say terrible. But I will say that the story kind of changed. Right? I mean, when this first happened, Draymond went on his podcast and said he liked the energy from the Celtics fans. He said that he, you know, was giving it back and taking it and sort of all this stuff, and it was a thing that he enjoyed about the intensity of the fans, and F you, Draymond, F you too, and he sort of joked and laughed about it, and now he has a very different tone about it and different recollection of sort of what happened. So, again, I'm not going to say I think he's lying, because I don't know, and it's not me to, you know, not on me to make those sort of determinations. I wasn't at any of those games. I didn't hear anything. I have no idea. But I did think at the time, wow, all right, Boston, you showed that you can be intense fans, and you showed you can, you know, heckle and chant and be loud and all that and not cross lines. And I thought that was sort of a proud moment, a weird way. I know that Steve Kerr and everybody all bitched and complained about it at the podium afterwards. Oh, there was children there. But I thought, all right, not bad, you know, all things considered. You lost the series, obviously, but all things considered, I thought that wasn't a terrible showing. Turns out, maybe it was. I don't know. Either way, don't cross any lines with Draymond Green tonight, please.
Or anybody.
Anyone. Don't. And I think that what Tomasi was trying to say, more so than that he's offended by profanity.
The gut reaction is sadness.
I don't really think that that's something that, you know, Tomasi's super offended by. But I think the point he was really trying to make here is that Draymond Green feeds off of stuff like that. You want the Celtics to win, get in his head some other way. You're chanting F you Draymond. He's going to internalize that, go out there and play harder. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. You know, they had a lead in that series, and then they didn't win another game. And Draymond Green didn't take over the series or anything like that, but his level of play certainly elevated. And listen, the Celtics were twisting in the wind after that third game. You know, from game four on, that's all you could say. So I guess there's something to be said for that. This year, the Warriors on the road suck. They're 5-17 on the road. They're 17-5 at home. 5-17 on the road. They're a 500 team, basically. And I'm shocked by that. I really am. They seem like the kind of team, youth movement or not, they got the pillars there. They got guys who have won at the highest level, who know how to deal with a regular season, and they can't win a road game? Like, that's weird.
Well, they also have guys who have been through, like, you know, setting the regular season win record and seeing where that pays off when you get to the finals, which is, it doesn't. You know, you shatter a regular season record, great, and then where does it get you? I'm still, if I'm the Celtics, I'm still terrified of this Warriors matchup. Last time you saw them, December 10th, you lost 123-107. That was coming off of a dominant win that you had over the Suns. And after that, it was really the only time in this entire Celtics season that you hit the skids a little bit. You went 2-4 after that. In the six games leading up to Christmas Day, then Tatum lights it up again against the Bucks. Tatum is who I've got my eye on tonight. And I know that's like not anything revolutionary because he's an MVP candidate and he is the star of your team. But in the last year, he's been, for the most part, not great against Golden State.
Yeah.
I crunched a couple numbers. So on that last outing against Golden State on December 10th.
Math class Mago.
Out there, yeah.
There we go.
He only had 18 points. He shot horribly. He shot 28.6%. He missed 7 three-pointers. He missed those 2 free throws late in the game. Like, he was just totally off. But since last February, he's averaged just 25 points against Golden State. And that includes all his finals appearances and a 44-point regular season game that he had against them last April. So there's an outlier in there. Like, there is a great performance, near 50-point performance in there, and he's still only at an average of 25 points per game. That's across 11 games since last February. So it's not a small sample size. I haven't seen, have we gotten an update on Jaylen Brown? He was questionable as of yesterday, and he practiced today. By all the videos that came out of practice from the beat writers out there at the Auerbach Center, it looked like he was moving well, and it seems he's listed as questionable. It seems like he's going to play tonight. You got to have him play tonight. Like, if he's available, you got to have him out there because he's the only of their stars. He's the one who regularly shows up against Golden State. Like, that was the impression that he made in the finals, and he made it again on December 10th. For some reason, Tatum, like, has a block against this team, it seems like.
Yeah, it does seem that way. I remember thinking in the finals, wow, Andrew Wiggins is really playing good defense on him. And then in that game, two months ago, Wiggins didn't even play.
Right.
It was just Tatum just couldn't get his
and
offense
going. You're like, okay,
going.
Tatum's going to get it back. No.
No, not really, not at all. I'm watching the same video I think you were just referencing about Jaylen Brown at the Auerbach Center earlier today around like 10 this morning. Looks like he's moving around fine. Yesterday he said he's going to try and play. I don't know. Where's the adductor? It's like in your hip or something?
No, it's your inner thigh.
It's your inner thigh.
Yeah.
Okay. Which connects to like your, right?
It's well,
like,
it all connects.
Everything connects. The thigh bone connects to the adductor bone. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope he plays. I think that going into this game shorthanded would sort of let the air out of the building a little bit, first of all. But also, I mean,
Klay Thompson's playing.
Thompson's playing. Curry's playing. You know, I think they got a full boat.
And that's
over
the
there.
Other thing. Like, Curry really shows up for these games against the Celtics. And historically, I say historically, when I say that, I mean, like, going back to the Bridges Celtics, the Celtics Golden State matchup has always just been super fun.
Yeah.
Like, both teams just absolutely bring it. Curry pantses you a lot. And the last time that they saw each other, Boston was running their pick and roll defense, and Curry took advantage of it like two straight possessions or like two times, like back to back, essentially did the same move and they just like screened off Looney and just took it right to you. And so, you know, they're going to have Rob Williams back. They're going to have Al Horford, who they didn't have either of them the last outing. So it's going to be a pretty different team. I think it's going to be a better representation of who this team is and how they match up against the Warriors as they are now.
I hope so.
Saw them.
Because you remember that Warriors loss last time set off a pretty serious set of dominoes for this team. They lost 5 out of their next 6 after that, I think, or 4 out of their next 5 afterwards. The only win was that crazy overtime win against the Lakers, which needed that wild shot. And if not for that, they would have lost 6 in a row, which is still now, I think, their worst stretch of the year. They've won 7 straight coming into this game. They're very, very hot. As I told you, the Warriors, not a good team on the road. And yet, despite all of that, and despite the fact that it's just a game in January, I still feel like there's a lot riding here. I still feel like there's a lot sort of, underneath the surface of this game, that if you see these two teams in the finals, or if the Celtics even make it back to the finals, which right now a lot of people are expecting, not a lot of people are expecting Golden State. I think they're the 7 or the 8 seed right now. They're like playing tournament status over in the Western Conference. So, you know, things haven't gone great for them this year. Things have gone about as well as they possibly could for your Boston Celtics. Really, with the only hiccup being that last time they played Golden State and the games afterwards. That's honestly been the only real time that they've looked vulnerable at all. And I think that this Warriors team does bring out that vulnerability in them. They're still veterans. They're guys that have won at the highest level. The Celtics haven't. And they haven't just won once like Giannis. Like, they've won over and over again. They're still like a dynasty in the making right now. And the Celtics, that's what they hope to be.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Warriors, again, like, I've written about this a little bit. I think they're always such an interesting matchup. They're the generational team ahead of the Celtics. And they really laid out the blueprint for almost exactly the same way that this Celtics team is composed, in terms of having homegrown players who blossom into incredible stars and, you know, draft just through the draft, not going out and grabbing a Kyrie Irving, a Kevin Durant, something like that. And so to see them go against each other in the finals, to me, was super exciting last year. And then to see how the Celtics floundered against them for the most part and continue to, you know, you say it's just a game in January. For this Celtics team, and they will not admit this because they're just going to say it's another game, all the games are important, it matters a lot for their confidence. In order, we always talked about them getting over the hurdle of getting past, oh, we made an appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. We won the Eastern Conference Finals. We went to the finals. This is the next hurdle. Like, even if it's not Golden State in the finals again against the Celtics, which is not an impossibility, it's just getting that doubt out of your mind that you're not ready for it, that you're not as professional as these guys. You can be these guys. These guys were you guys once. And so many great teams, the great dynasties that we look at, like the Bulls, have to overcome the Celtics, have to overcome the Pistons. Mm-hmm. No, it's not the same thing because they're not in the same conference. But it's like, at some point, you know, you got to hand over the, what's the stupid thing that you hand in the relay?
The baton.
You got to hand the baton.
Yes.
Pass the baton. And most of the time, you have to wrestle it from the person in front of you.
Yeah, Celtics got to take it. They're not just going to pass it to him. Celtics got to take it away. And tonight would be a nice step towards doing that. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. Ryan Garvin's going to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, the NFL coaching carousel spinning and spinning and spinning. We'll tell you where it's at right now after Ryan gives you trending.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio, WEEI, Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini, here with you for about 45 more minutes or so. If you want to jump in, you can at 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls on whatever you want. Celtics tonight, if you're on your way into the game, want to chime in on the Seas, you want to talk Bruins, they've got a game tonight against the Rangers. The Red Sox made a move. Patriots interviewing coaches today, including Bill O'Brien, who, according to just about everybody we've ever spoken to on the matter, is the leading candidate for the job. Including Tommy Curran. Tommy Curran talked a little bit about all of this today and about how if O'Brien is going to come here, he's going to have to rebuild the trust between the team and Mac Jones. Here's Tommy from earlier today.
And that's the reason when we talk about McCardell or Sean Jefferson or Nick Haley or Adrian Clem, they're nice. And you're exactly right, Meg. It's good to have the intel on these individuals. But there's no comparison between what we're talking about with Bill O'Brien and these other individuals in terms of experience and acumen. He's been the architect of possibly the most difficult coaching situation anybody got plummeted into in the last 15 years when he went into Penn State in 2012. He's also been an outstanding architect of offenses. Say what you will about how things went in Houston. They had a lot of wins with Brian Hoyer playing quarterback down there and Bill O'Brien as the offensive architect. So, to me, what was the initial question?
Oh, about rebuilding the trust with Mac.
And the other guys.
Because I don't know. Tom, did you see the poem that Mac posted? He posted the If poem.
I could have pretended that I didn't know what the question was, but right. I wanted to be honest.
There you go.
Yeah, the trust is there when he walks in the door. Okay, now we have an adult. Thank God. Here we go.
All right, so there you go. Notwithstanding Tommy Curran's senior moment there at the end.
You are firing some shots over there, my friend.
What do you want from me? In the middle of the question he was answering, he pulled a Michael
that
Scott
happened,
and forgot what he was even talking
that
about.
Happened to me twice with, that, happened, that happened to me twice today with callers. I was like, wait, what was the first point they made? I like the first point better than the second point, so I want to talk to that.
Anyway, rebuilding the trust with Mac Jones, obviously a big, big part of whoever the offensive
Such
coordinator is.
Such a big
is.
Part.
I mean, that's the main thing you got to do.
Well, you need somebody who can be a play caller and somebody who can coordinate. You need somebody who can actually do the job. But that feeling of, okay, an adult is here now, like somebody's in control. And I thought it was really smart how Tom pointed out the situation that we don't talk about that much up here because it's pro sports all the time up here. And mm-hmm. we don't talk so much about college football. But the Penn State situation
right.
that Bill O'Brien went into, that really was one of the more difficult, you know, obviously that everything around it is much more serious than football. But as a coach going into that situation and in that locker room and that he was able to gracefully succeed there, does speak to something about his interpersonal skills.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, going to a place that was ravaged with controversy and scandal and sort of all that, and just keeping your head down and running a normal football season
Dude,
is going to make you look smart.
Shattered.
It was, but you know, compared to what was there, like the bar was very low, I guess, for Bill O'Brien and what was expected of him when he got there. Can you not have this awful?
Okay, isn't that where we're at?
On?
I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but sure. The bar is pretty low here.
It is, but clearing that bar, I guess, I just think that clearing that bar, while yes, it was an ambitious thing, an ambitious job to take on, and that's maybe what you're saying. I don't know. I just think that was a job that was maybe a little thankless, but also a good way to get your name out there. And, you know, worst case scenario, what? You have a bad season, you lose a couple of games. Even if that happens, you're still an improvement from the last regime that was there. And that may be sort of the situation he's walking into here as well. I think that for Bill O'Brien, if you bring up his Houston years, you have to bring up two not particularly complimentary parts of them. One of them is the DeAndre Hopkins thing, which is going to follow him around. I mean, just comparing any player to Aaron
Hernandez.
Especially
when he's asking for a trade.
That
the last
too.
Time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez.
Okay.
This is a pretty bad look.
Tough name to invoke there. And that was something that he brought up, and that was the beginning of the end between O'Brien and Hopkins. They traded him away. It was a terrible trade. And after that, things continued to go downhill to the point where O'Brien basically turned the whole team over to Jack Easterby, and Jack Easterby ran the team into the ground because he's a bozo. And that whole situation, I know it was mostly the owner, but O'Brien was a part of that too. O'Brien was there for that whole thing, and he took most of the blame for it because he was the head coach. But that's kind of, I feel like when you talk about him, you have to include that. You have to include that whole thing. How well did he really connect with the players? It seemed like the really good players on the team didn't like him very much. And in the end, he was part of a decision-making process with this guy who was just, I mean, a complete, I don't even know what to call Jack Easterby at this point.
Clown.
A charlatan, a clown. I mean,
hilarious,
like,
hilarious.
He was funny, but I mean, like, this guy's like a snake oil salesman going around preaching the good word and then stealing everybody's money.
Yeah, I think
that's
about right.
You know? Like,
I think that's about right.
One of those, like, traveling Bible salesmen or something. Like, that's sort of what he was. And that's the way that he left that situation. Now he goes to Alabama. We look at his numbers in Alabama and we think, wow, look at that offense. That offense is great. The Alabama fans hate him. The Alabama fans, he's like the worst thing that ever happened down in Tuscaloosa. The kids, the fans of that team, parents were giving their kids autographed pictures of Bill O'Brien instead of lumps of coal to put in the stockings at Christmas. I mean, that's a real thing. Do we have that video? There's a real thing here.
That's for the end of the show.
Oh, it is? Okay.
I didn't realize we were saving that.
Okay, well, big tease then. Well, in a half hour, you'll hear what I'm talking about. But that's the truth. I mean, you had, from our perspective, a guy who seemed like he was doing well and thriving in a college environment. From their perspective, get this guy the bleep out of here.
Yeah, that's fine. They can send him up here. Come home. Come home, Billy. We know. You don't want to be down there anymore. Nobody wants to be down there. It's tough, you know?
We don't want you here.
Yeah, take this Yankee back up north with you. You got trying to walk
take him back
here.
Up big city way.
Goes crawfish. Got to call crayfish. He said, this is lobster. I said, this ain't no lobster. He said, this is a little lobster. It is a small lobster. I said, this is a crayfish.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Feinbaum. I don't hate everybody from up north, but I do hate Bill O'Brien. I hate him so much that my boy, he was misbehaving this year. Little Cletus wouldn't eat his grits. So instead of putting a lump of coal in his stocking, I put in an autographed photograph of Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien,
worst Christmas he ever had.
He dealt with Bryce Young. He reminds me of the dog I had once. The dog would not listen to a damn thing that I would say. So what did I do with that dog? I marked that dog out in the woods, and I tied that dog to a tree, and I never went and got that dog again. It's a bad dog. You can't teach a bad dog.
Sounds like
you're
dog,
glad to hear.
There you go. 617-779-7937.
By the way, there is a texter who really doesn't like the Alabama bit.
Aw, sorry. Sorry that I offend your little redneck sensibilities. I'm sorry about that. Bless your heart. Really, go cry in your grits.
I'm real.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number.
I know you
are. Does that really bother you that the Alabama fans are unhappy with Bill O'Brien, so that makes you more cautious about bringing Bill O'Brien in as the offensive coordinator here?
In the sense that I thought he was doing a great job in Alabama, and they don't think so. That tells me
something.
They're
crazy. Yeah. They're crazy Alabama fans.
Fine, but they also
They're not happy with anything short of a national championship.
Right, and they were short of a national championship this year with Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator.
Doesn't mean that
their
offense was bad.
Well, it did take a step backwards. They were averaging like 55 points a game before he got there. And now
I gotta
it's down
be
to like
honest,
43
I'm not,
points a game.
Not an Alabama football insider. Not going to put that hat on and pretend like I am. But I will say that I'm not going to base my judgments on the offensive coordinator search based on Alabama fans.
Fair enough. I mean, listen, if you listen to Paul Feinbaum for more than 5 minutes, you can understand that these are unhinged people, okay? And that's so, especially when it comes to their football team.
By the way, that's debatable.
That being said, they know. I mean, they're not ignorant. They're not ignorant about their team. They know their team. And they know when the offense takes, is taking a step backwards. And maybe they just don't like O'Brien because he's a city slicker from up north. He's a Yankee from up here.
I don't know. They sound kind of ignorant about it. I mean, yeah, you didn't make a national title game for the first time in 100 years. But I don't know. Maybe instead of looking at Bill O'Brien, you would look at Nick Saban, right? Oh, no, that's right. Because Nick Saban just wins and he has all these rings. And you would give him the benefit of the doubt.
Honestly,
like, doesn't that sound familiar? Does that remind you of anybody?
Sound like someone,
sounds
yes.
a little bit
Holy
like the
smokes,
backyard
that
here.
Sounds like New England Patriots fan. Where, I mean, the obvious answer might be, yeah, Bill Belichick, by the way, said, blame me if this doesn't go right. So, yeah, I'm going to blame you, coach. It's the exact same thing that is going on in Alabama right now. I would not put stock in anything that Alabama fans are saying about Bill O'Brien.
So
I would not.
So what you're saying right now is that in this analogy, Bill O'Brien is Matt Patricia.
Yes.
Well, that's not good.
Yes, except in this analogy, like Matt that. Patricia has led the Patriots one game short of a national title game. Which I guess would be the Super Bowl.
Sure. But they didn't make the playoffs. So
no, they didn't.
You know.
So yeah, Bill O'Brien would absolutely be an upgrade.
AFC championship, I don't think you're losing your mind in most cases over the offensive coordinator.
No, not losing your mind per se.
Unless
but,
he completely sabotaged you.
Alabama, the bar is very high, I guess, is the thing. And that's sort of,
it's almost like it's unrealistic.
It may be unrealistically high. That's entirely possible. Speaking of which, unrealistically high is the tentative title for the Mike McDaniel biography that's coming out next year. 617-779-7937. All right. So Bill O'Brien interviewed today. We don't know how the interview went, but we know that along with that, Sean Jefferson was interviewing, and did McCardell interview today too?
I believe so.
McCardell was expected to interview.
He was expected to interview today, and Rappaport said that these things may be wrapped up by tomorrow, and that by this time tomorrow we may not know, but the team may know who it is that they're going to sign and who's going to be the offensive coordinator. Let's say it's Bill O'Brien, and let's say that the Bill O'Brien era in New England starts tomorrow or whenever, the day after they announce it. What is O'Brien's...
Thank God!
Finally, I've been marking the days of my calendar.
My prayers have been answered.
My Dale Earnhardt calendar, I've been X-ing off days every single day
God
waiting for this
him.
One.
God bless him.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, what were you saying?
I don't know. That wasn't the only...
The Bill O'Brien era is returning.
The Bill O'Brien era is returning. Jefferson is interviewing. That's going to be happening tomorrow. And a couple other little pieces of movement out there in the NFL as well. Lamar Jackson's offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, stepping away from the Ravens. Jackson may be doing that exact same thing. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are cleaning house in the event that Tom Brady's also leaving there. Byron Leftwich has been fired, and who knows what's going to be happening after that. Todd Bowles still on as the head coach, and obviously Harbaugh's still the head coach there in Baltimore. I've noticed a lot of coordinators are getting let go, and head coaches are sticking
it
around.
Is,
you notice
it's
that?
True. It's almost like some of these teams don't want to pay out coaches that then they're not going to have coach.
Seems like it.
In terms of really big contracts. Going back to the Greg Roman news, though, that was reported by Ian Rappaport earlier today. So we were talking at the top of the show about whether that indicates that Lamar Jackson is definitely going to leave the Ravens or if they're going to slap the franchise tag on him and keep him around, whether he likes it or not. And now apparently, like I was just seeing some headlines on the TV, and I don't know if anybody has any background information on this about it breaking, but John Harbaugh, can never say that. I got it right.
You got it.
Time, right?
Nailed it.
Harbaugh, they had a press conference where they doubled down and said Lamar Jackson is our quarterback going forward.
Interesting.
So they have fired the architect of the Lamar Jackson offense, and they're doubling down and saying Lamar Jackson is going to be the quarterback, which would make you think that either they reach a contract with him. Like, are they just saying that? It's all very bizarre what's happening in Baltimore right now.
Yeah, here's the whole quote from Harbaugh. asked about Jackson, will he be the quarterback? 100%, 200%, no question about it. Lamar is our quarterback. He's been our quarterback. Everything that we've done in terms of building our offense and building our team, how we think in terms of putting people around him, is based on this incredible young man, his talent, his abilities, and his competitiveness. And that's why we just fired the guy who built this whole offense. I love Lamar. Eric DaCosta loves Lamar. It's a GM, and it's not going to change in the future. I don't know anything about details or anything else, but I know one thing. I, like all the fans out there and everybody else, have my fingers, toes crossed and will be saying my prayers. I have faith it'll get done. We've got the best people in the world at it. Eric wants him here. I want him here. Steve wants him here. And Lamar wants to be here. It's going to work out. I don't know if Lamar wants
to
be here.
I was about to say, has anyone talked to Lamar?
You seen Lamar's like Instagram lately? He doesn't. It's not, seems like a guy.
Lamar wants to be here. And yet he didn't show up to the playoff game where his best friend was stepping in for him because of his injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tweeting stuff out that then his coach was like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Right.
Doesn't seem like open lines of communication down there in Baltimore.
No, and it doesn't seem like they're 100, 200%, whatever he's saying, in that corner either. You just fired his coordinator, the guy who built the offense that made him the MVP. Like, you let that, you fired him. Maybe Jackson wanted him fired. I don't know. But that seems like a weird, if you're, you know, crowing about building the offense around him and doing all these things, and then you fire the guy who built the offense, then doesn't that thing, I assume you think he's leaving too.
Well, so again, they like have the trump card here because they can franchise tag him at least for a year.
Yep.
Where does this rank then to you in terms of, we were talking yesterday about the open offensive coordinator jobs and where the Patriots rank? I said they were probably somewhere around third or fourth, mm-hmm. in terms of all the open jobs, with the Chargers being far and away the most attractive job for anybody looking to be an offensive coordinator. Where does Ravens with Lamar Jackson there rank?
With Lamar Jackson, I
assuming
put them...
Assuming that Lamar is staying there, because that's what right. everybody front office and coaching wise is saying.
If Jackson leaves, I'd put them down near the bottom. I'd put them down near, like, you know, the Colts and some of these other crappy teams, you know, Carolina. I'd put them down there with the bad teams. If he stays, then I think that's right up there with the Chargers and the Rams. I do.
I think it's second,
maybe third. Yeah. They don't have much else other than him. J.K. Dobbins is a good running back, but like, they don't have any good receivers. Their tight end's good, and I think that you got something there just with a good offensive line, a pretty good running back, a tight end, and Lamar Jackson. It's sort of like what Mahomes has. You know, Mahomes has a great tight end, nothing really with receivers. Schuster's pretty good, but he's not some game breaker.
Mark Andrews is a stud.
Andrews is great. Kelsey's great. You can do it with a good O-line, a tight end, and a versatile running back. You know, I mean, that's enough for a great quarterback, and Jackson is a great quarterback. But he's also hurt all the time, and the rest of the offense there, you know, you bring in another QB who's not Jackson, and you see the shortcomings of that offense. So I think that's the main thing there. But with him, it's as attractive, I'd say, as anything. With him, I'd say it's as attractive as any job out there, other than maybe the L.A. Chargers. So that's where I'd go. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls, and Ryan Garvin with the almost end of the show. That's next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good news, Celtics fans. According to Underdog NBA, whatever. I don't know this account, but according to Underdog NBA, Jaylen Brown on track to play, barring any setback in warm-up. So it'll be a game-time decision tonight. I think he's playing. If you saw the videos of him warming up down at the Auerbach Center, in my professional opinion, he's probably going to be good
with
to play.
A blue check mark.
Thank you very much. I don't know. Underdog NBA, I don't know anything about this account.
I know that Underdog is like almost a pseudo fan duel type spot.
Got it.
Know, everyday betting.
Okay. And they have 180-something thousand followers, so they
and it has to be real.
They know something. There you go.
How to get followers.
Jaylen Brown tonight against the Golden State Warriors, Celtics and Warriors here. This is a marquee matchup and a very, very hot ticket, by the way. If you're going to this game, good for you because you had to spend a lot of money to get to this game. If you paid money, I mean, you paid upwards of $150 for the balcony to get to this one. So good for you. And good for the Celtics if they can pull out a win here. And I hope that they do because if they lose and get swept in the season series to this Golden State team, even if they don't end up playing them again, that to me shows a weak spot.
That shows a weak spot
on this team. Yeah, it shows that they still...
It's like a mental block.
You can still get in their head a little bit, you know?
Totally.
That's one thing that will show me. And listen, I mean, they are as capable of beating this team as anybody else. And the Warriors, when they go on the road away from... and it's not Oracle Arena anymore. What's it called now? Where do they
Chase
play?
Chase Center.
The Chase Center. Yeah, when they leave the Chase Center, they suck. I mean, they're a straight-up bad team when they go on the road now. So the Celtics really don't have any excuse, aside from the fact that the Warriors may just own them. It may be as simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jaylen Brown's going to be a huge part of it. As I said a couple minutes ago, Jason Tatum does not have great numbers over the last year against Golden State for the most part. Jaylen put up, I think, 31 the last time that they saw them when they lost in December. So you need him out there. Hopefully he doesn't stand up awkwardly from his chair or something.
Yeah, that would be a setback.
Because that inner thigh, that's what it is, you know? That's how you tweak it. Ooh, my thigh.
And then the thing that's interesting with Jason Tatum that I'm looking forward to is at least in these big-time marquee matchups, whether it's against Dallas, Milwaukee on Christmas Day, even against the Nuggets, he's performed very well. Like, yep. He's on a nice stretch right now. And you would have to imagine that this is just one more marquee game. If he's, you know, so driven by the MVP talk or lack thereof, then I'm expecting a big game from Jason Tatum tonight.
I am too.
You want to grab a call here? Before
yeah, let's
we go
take
to
a call
the
quickly.
Almost end of the show.
Charlie is in Boston with a football thought. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Enjoy the new show. It's great.
Thank you, Charlie.
But yeah, so my take is that I think the Patriots opening at the OC is one of the best. It's got to be like the best in the league because Matt Patricia set the bar so low that you literally can't screw it up anymore. And because of that, you know that they're going to, like, in terms of talent-wise, they're going to be spending a lot of money, right? Or they should be if they're smart. But we're close. We're not, like, super far away from a good offense. And then, two, you know you have a good defense to fall back on, right? You just have to do, like, maybe 10%, 20% better than Patricia, and you'll be just fine. So I think it's a win-win for whoever goes in there.
All right, thanks for the call, Charlie. I do agree that the bar is very low. I don't think they're that close to a good offense. You can't watch that offense.
Why? It was a good offense the year before, and what was so different about it?
It was middle of the pack, I think, the year before. I think
it was
like,
a fine offense.
It was better than this, obviously, but I don't think it was good. I think it was trending.
Productive.
It could have been better. I think this year it should have been better, but this year it took such a dramatic step back that it's hard for me to say that they're close. They got to get back to being close again. Real quick, just in terms of the MVP talk, just because it got brought up there at the end, Jason Tatum right now and Jaylen Brown both would be All-Stars if the voting ended today. The NBA released their third and final fan voting update for the All-Star game in the Eastern Conference front court. It's Giannis number one, Durant number two, and then Tatum. He's not going to catch Durant. He's down about 1.3 million votes. And then over on the guards, it's Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, and then Jaylen Brown, and Brown is well behind those two guys, too. So
he's that far behind Donovan Mitchell?
Donovan Mitchell is at
that big game he put up.
3.9, Jaylen Brown's at 2.1 million.
He's getting that new star push.
That's
new team,
hurtful.
New conference. Who dis?
That's kind of disrespectful. This is all fans, yeah?
Yes, this is the fan voting. Okay. It is indeed. And with that, what's the time for, Ryan Garvin?
It is time, of course, for the almost end of the show, which is sponsored by Cars for Kids. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old or broken car. Stop it. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax reduction. Tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. And of course,
get a tax reduction.
I don't know. Because that's why it says deduction and not reduction.
Oh, because I'm so rich. Too many taxes.
Carsforkids.org. Of course, that is cars with a K. So we played a little audio from Mike Rodak, who's on the Next Pats podcast with Phil Perry. And he told a very specific story about a young child who received a Bill O'Brien autographed card as a Christmas gift, and how this young child did not handle it well as it pertains to not people not liking Bill O'Brien. Well, we have that audio. So if I can set a scene for you, there's a bunch of little kids. Obviously, there's a couple of parents hanging around. They're probably doing some big family Christmas swap. And this young blonde-haired boy, probably about 6 or 7 years old, he gets this, he opens this present, and he's not overly excited about it. Take a listen.
Oh, what's in it? What's in it?
What is in the postal?
What is it?
What is it?
Bill O'Brien!
What?
Bill O'Brien's autograph!
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
What?
And of course, he has a young cousin there who's very excited about his DeAndre Hopkins helmet that he got for Christmas. You know, it's ironic. I think I know who that kid ended up growing into.
Pumpkin guy.
He grew into Pumpkin guy.
The pumpkin slapper.
There's a similarity there. As far as the rage. What's wrong with that little kid?
What's wrong with that?
Can I say I'm a little disappointed that kid didn't have a thick Southern accent? Like, I was kind of hoping that he would.
You barely heard him. He's screaming.
He was so distraught that he could not get the words out after all.
Daddy, I don't want no damn Bill O'Brien autograph. Daddy, this is the worst Christmas I ever had.
All right, I got one more for you before we part ways and turn the station over to Rich Keefe. And, RK, this is something I am interested in getting your opinion on. There's a video been circulating. I believe this is a coach on the Colorado Buffaloes football staff. Is this Tim Brewster? Do I have that name right?
That is right. It's Coach Brewster.
So I don't have any patience for this hardo nonsense. But this is Coach Tim Brewster with a locker room full of hopeful prospects to play on the football team. And this is how he handles getting his guys motivated.
When I say stand tall, okay, I want you bouncing out of your seat and stand tall. When I say stand tall, get your ass up. Stand tall. Sit your ass back down. Stand tall. We come.
We come.
Raise the goddamn roof. Raise the roof. We coming.
We come.
We coming.
We come.
If them Colorado buses show up, and 60 minutes of hell coming with it.
Okay, that's
60 minutes of hell coming with it. The time is now, man. The time is now.
Now, it's interesting. Yeah. When I played Coach Brewster, Arkan, I didn't see you stand up when he said, stand up!
No. Well, first of all, I'm not on the team. Second of all, this guy, are you kidding me? Coach Prime's bad enough. They got to deal with this doofus too now.
Oh, my God.
Poor
60
little
minutes of hell. It's a college football game, you knob.
60 minutes of hell coming with it.
Stand tall. Now sit back down. Now
look
stand
to
up
your
again.
Left, sons. Look to your right. One of you will not be getting an NIL deal.
When I say stand tall, get your ass up. Stand tall. Sit your ass back down.
Listen, they're going to have a great season. I'm sure everything's going to be awesome for Coach Prime and the Buffaloes.
Just in case you were wondering, well, has this worked for this guy in the past? The answer is no.
Oh, wow, shocker.
He was the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers from 07 to 2010. His record with them, 15-30, 0-2, lost in 2 Insight Bowls. So, yeah, this hard-o act, I mean, listen, guys doing what he loves. I'm not going to begrudge
him. 60 minutes of hell coming with it.
If I'm standing in that locker room, I'm looking at that transfer portal boy.
Of course.
You have to listen to this guy every day? Oh, my God.
I couldn't do it. And there you have it. That was the almost end of the show, which always leads us to the end of the show. We are followed by Rich Keefe. He takes over at 6. Mago's got a big, important basketball game to go cover for the station.
That is correct. Stay tuned. Rich Keefe coming up next. Want to say thanks to Tommy Kern for joining us today. For Megan Ottolini, I'm Christian Arcan. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Bye.
What is it?
Bill O'Brien!
Careful! What?
Bill O'Brien's autograph!
Why? What was
that? Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.